From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Giving Without a Whisper. The text is Matthew chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. No promise is made to those who give to the poor to be seen of men. They have their reward at once, and cannot expect to be paid twice. Let us hide away our charity. Yes, hide it even from ourselves. Give so often and so much as a matter of course that you no more take note that you have helped the poor than that you have eaten your regular meals. Do your alms without even whispering to yourself, "How generous I am!" Do not thus attempt to reward yourself. Leave the matter with God, who never fails to see, to record, and to reward. Blessed is the man who is busy in secret with his kindness. He finds a special joy in his unknown benevolences. This is the bread which, eaten by stealth, is sweeter than the banquets of kings. How can I indulge myself today with this delightful luxury? Let me have a real feast of tenderness and flow of soul. Here and hereafter the Lord himself will personally see to the rewarding of the secret giver of alms. This will be in his own way and time, and he will choose the very best. How much this promise means, it will need eternity to reveal.
Purpose of his plan in the presence of the King.
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled, "The Case for United Prayer." Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. verses 8 through 15 of Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of his personal knowledge of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had experienced the life-changing effect of the gospel in his own life, and his one desire was to make that gospel known to as many people as possible. In the text before us, Paul emphasizes that the gospel must make itself known in the lives of those who believe it. He rejoiced in the efficacy of the gospel to transform sinners into saints through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In addition, Paul had personally experienced the power of Christ's merits. He knew that there was nothing else that could prevail in God's sight for the salvation of lost, guilty sinners. Then Paul rejoiced in the testimony of the Roman Christians, which demonstrated the reality of the effects of the gospel in their lives. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life.
But I want you to notice this. He's saying to these people, you people are a glowing testimony to this glorious and powerful gospel of justifying grace that you have believed. But the whole import of this passage is, and this is why he wanted to go, you still have a need. What is that need? Well, the rest of the book really is the answer to that. You need to be instructed more fully, more deeply in the gospel. And this is where Paul differs from most of the people who preach today. You listen to most preaching to Christians today, and what's it all about? That may be true enough, and it may have its place, but it must be a minor place. But it is how to solve this problem, how to solve that problem, how to be happy in this situation, how to feel fulfilled in another situation. And here are the principles by which you solve these problems or come to these positions. But there's no exposition of the gospel. What I have been laboring to do over these weeks as we have ponderously made our way through these opening verses of Romans is to show you that Paul links everything he says to the central truth of justification by grace through faith in the merits of Christ. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And everything must be vitally linked to that. If I could use an example, take this gospel. That's the heart. Now listen. If your heart stops beating, you can have the greatest brain surgeon in the world examine your brain. It'll just be what Agatha Christie's Hercule Poirot called little gray cells. None more. You may have the most beautiful body in creation if your heart starts beating. They can examine that body all they like. They can describe its proportions. It's dead. In other words, there's no part of you of any use apart from the core of your being. So it is with the gospel. There's no use looking at the problem of this part of my life, the problem of that part of my life, the problem of my prayer life, the problem of my home life, the problem of my finances, the problem of this, the problem of that, and look at all these ways of dealing with those problems. There's no use in doing that unless you get the gospel at the heart of it. Paul is saying you people have a need, and that need is to plunge to the depths of the gospel. Get to know it. I want to tell you, when we adopt that, we'll find that the gospel will so govern our lives that it will teach you how to respond to every situation. As we'll see when we come to verses 9 and 10, where we have Paul's testimony. He says, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you, always in my prayers making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul's testimony. This covers every aspect of his life, but you'll see particularly it covers his prayer life and his preaching. And for Paul, by the way, those two things went together. You know the hardest thing for a preacher? In some ways, you'd say it's the preaching. Well, it can be. The hardest thing for a preacher is not the preaching. The hardest thing for the preacher is not the studying. Though I would say to any of you young fellows who think that you're called to preach, if you tell me you don't like to study, go get another job. If you're not committing your life to a lifetime of study, you're not called to be a preacher. But that's not the hardest thing. The hardest thing is not even dealing with the deacons. And I'm speaking now in Baptist church terms, because they deal with the deacons. We have elders and deacons. Willie Mullen, the great Baptist preacher in Northern Ireland, years ago, talked about Moses and the 70 elders that he had. And all his deacons were lined up along the front. And you'd have to know Willie Mullen. He was a very dramatic preacher. And he would have a habit of going like this, and he'd have the Bible open, and he would just close the book and point. Very dramatic kind of preacher. And he closed the book, and he took off the glasses, and he said, Moses had 70 of these fellows. God help him. And he mentioned the number that he had. And he said, I don't know how you put up with them, but they break my heart. Well, I can't say that. I can't say that. In the mercy of God, nobody has been blessed with better deacons and elders than I have throughout my ministry, in the three churches in which I've served, so I can't complain. But dealing with the deacons and the elders, it's not the hardest part of the ministry. Visiting the sick and the dying is a challenge. A great burden to go. You walk into a hospital room and you realize this person's going out into eternity. And I'm the mouthpiece of God. That's a burden, but that's not the hardest part of the ministry. The hardest part of the ministry is not giving up your job. I've often told you, when God called me into the Free Presbyterian ministry, he called me to nothing as far as finances were concerned. The lowest paid workers in the worst jobs would have been paid like kings compared to what we could have looked forward to. We had nothing. We expected nothing. But that wasn't the hardest part. I never thought that was an imposition. It was just a chance to prove God. You know the hardest part of the ministry for the preacher? It's his prayer life. That's the hardest part. When the devil will use everything, he'll even use his need to study. He'll use his need to visit. His need to counsel. His need to do this and that. He'll do anything to keep him from prayer. For Paul, praying and preaching went together. And I can tell you, the less preachers have become men of prayer, the less they have become efficient preachers of the Word of God. His prayer life and his preaching life went together. He preached the gospel before men. But when he came before God, what was he doing? He was pleading the gospel before God. And he was crying out for the success of the gospel. You see, Paul couldn't do anything apart from the gospel. It was that which was the core of his being. It was the foundation and the fullness of his whole life. And that's the testimony he gives in verses 9 and 10. He says, God is my witness. What's he saying? I live sincerely before God. What a testimony. I believe this gospel. This is not a job for me. I'm not in this for a career. The man that would come into the Christian ministry for a career is a lunatic. Or a very arrogant man. Paul wasn't in this for a job. At times he didn't have money even to buy the necessities of life, and he had to lay aside his preaching to go out and make tents and sell them to make enough to live on. He wasn't in it for the money. He wasn't in it for the career. He wasn't in it for the glory. He had far more glory in earthly terms before he ever came into the ministry. He says, I am living sincerely before God. You see, he emphasized this because many in the Church of Rome had never met him. And they might well have heard some of the things that Paul's detractors had said about him. They were always criticizing him. Paul himself, writing to the Corinthians, said, we are not as those that corrupt the word of God. And he says, as of sincerity we speak the truth. Paul said, I'm living in all sincerity before God. And I never forget, God is my witness. I was just praying about that this morning. Lord, stamp that in my heart. This heart of mine would stray. It would go into wickedness and selfishness and lustfulness and sinfulness and worldliness and coldness and unbelief. Lord, let me know that God is my witness. Doesn't matter who sees me. Doesn't matter who knows me. Doesn't matter who can look into my heart or not. God is my witness. There's not a thought in my brain. There's not a emotion in my being. There's not the slightest idea that can cross my mind. There's not an action, however private, but that God is my witness. What Paul says. He says, my testimony is, and I would to God that we could honestly say it. I fear to say it. My heart condemns me as I read Paul's testimony. Paul could say, I call the all-seeing eye of God. Let him search me to the depths of my being. There is no trace of hypocrisy in me. I am sincerely 100% governed by the gospel. What a testimony. What a testimony. To the Galatians he said, do I seek to please man? Paul knew better than that. If I yet pleased man, I should not be the servant of Christ. And I'll tell you, that's the secret of what's wrong with a whole lot of Christian living. Not busy trying to please men that we can't please God. Make it up in your mind. Let it be known. You, if you're not saved, and what's keeping you from Christ is the fear of man, if you're trying to please men, it'll take you to hell. You can't please men and please God. And if you're a Christian, make it clearly evident to your own mind. If I am going to be the servant of God in an evil world, I am not going to be loved by the world. Do I now try to please men? No, I don't. For if I set out to please men, I will not please God. We are not to live doing what we do with eye service as men pleasers. But we're to act as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's what we're to do. Paul says, I live sincerely before God. In verse 9, he also says, in effect, I live simply to spread the gospel. Notice what he says, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. What does that mean? He says, when I preach, my whole heart is in it. This is not a mechanical thing to me. My soul is committed to this. And what is it? The sphere of everything I do is the gospel of the Son of God. Now you might say, well, Paul was an apostle, Paul was a preacher, Paul was a missionary, Paul was a full-time worker. I'm a shop assistant, I'm an office worker, I'm a teacher, I'm this. Listen, I don't care what you are. If you're a Christian, you believe the gospel, serve in the gospel of his Son.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.